Okay, we have enough folks. We have a quorum of folks. So I'd like to call the meeting to order. June 22nd, 2002, Odyssey Charter School monthly board meeting at 6:02 p.m. First order of business, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you all. So first item up is approval of previous meeting minutes. Ken sent those around to everybody. I didn't see any issues. Did anybody have any comments on the meeting minutes or updates or changes that needed to be made to that? Okay, so barring no changes, do we have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from last month?
Motion to approve the meeting minutes from last month.
A second, Anna Marie, seconds.
Who? I heard Anna Marie second. Who did the original motion? Who did the original? Who did the original motion to approve? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. We.
What's that?
Because I can hear you on
here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Paul.
Okay.
Was that you, Paul, to the original motion?
Yes.
Anna Marie second. Okay. Thanks. Sorry. I just didn't hear it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
You can raise your hands too as well if you don't want to unmute just so we can see you. Thank you all. All right, the motion carries. You can publish those on the website. Next order of business is public comments. Valerie, were there any public comments or anybody signed up to make public comments today?
No one has contacted me with respect to making such comments. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Valerie. I appreciate it. Next up, head of school report, Elias Pappas, coming to us live from Greece at 1 a.m. Or is it 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. over there right now?
It is. It's 1 a.m. Hi, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you all for coming in so late. You can walk us through the monthly report.
Sure. Jeff shared it on the screen. I'm trying to make sure I keep my Wi-Fi stable here. COVID updates, the first one. Our final numbers for the campus total were 867. Our April to May numbers saw a jump of, a 70 total cases. The May to June numbers showed 141 cases. So there was a jump of 40 cases total. I'm sorry, that's 71 cases total across all of the schools the last 4 weeks of school of testing. That's the last I have of the COVID updates. Culture focus, the OCS parent camp event is Wednesday, June the 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. And we already have 84 people registered for the event. That's really exciting. We're also preparing the lower school building reveal, which is going to be for families on August 19th. And when we're also going to be talking about a fundraising event that we're going to have for a grand opening for the lower school as well. We'll talk about that shortly. So we just started doing some updates on the student code of conduct to present to the board later on in the summer. in hopes of making sure that it's aligned in every way, shape, or form with what current policy is, both in Delaware, and what restorative practices are that we're trying to move forward with as an organization. In terms of building level updates, a couple of things. The golf outing was on June 17th. Thank you to all who participated in that. The funds are to support the athletics department. It was a great success. I don't have the numbers yet on how much money was raised, but we'll be able to get that for the July board meeting. We have a save the date. The lower school grand opening event will occur in September to offset the moving costs, acquire a new playground, and update the building. More will follow with that. Our first used uniform sale is on July 20th. The links for the new uniform have already been sent out, and I've seen that several families have already been ordering them from our previous vendor, Land's End, and also our new supplemental vendor, which is Tommy Hilfiger. We're also going to be providing in the month of August iron-on patches that can be affixed to large retailer non-branded polos to provide a low-cost option for families that need to purchase uniforms. Another note, we're looking for parent volunteers to become part of our new parent advisory council. There will also be a student advisory council consisting of class representatives. And we'll have we'll be forming a teacher advisory council as well. These councils will meet with the head of schools throughout the year to provide feedback and generate ideas to help our school continue to improve. Parents, if you want to be part of that committee, please email me directly with a subject line that says Parent Advisory Council, expressing your interest, and I'd be happy to send you follow-up details as we get closer to the beginning of the school year. The lower school had a fantastic kindergarten graduation and many end of the year events, including step up days for all grades. Thank you to everybody who made that possible. Optional summer work has been sent out and made available to families on the website, as well as the supply list for the next school year. Report cards should be coming out very shortly. Look for those in your information communication systems. All families who have received emails about missing devices are encouraged to email the front office and arrange a drop-off time. Tablets, Chromebooks, keyboards, and chargers were collected this year. The staff have been busy preparing for the building move to building 26, and that's what we're currently working on. A few more details on that coming up momentarily. For the intermediate school had a lot of fun counting down the last days of school. It was filled with a lot of activities, award ceremonies, and field trips for all grade levels. Fifth grade finished their time at the intermediate school with a trip to Washington, D.C., and their graduation, of course, which was a very, very wonderful event. We do wish our students best of luck during their middle school years. Report cards will be mailed home to all students. All students who have been selected for the fifth grade honors program will receive an email by the end of this week. These emails will be sent to the parent email that's on file. We do want to thank all families for a fun and successful full year back in person learning and enjoy the summer. Middle school, all in the end of year activities were a huge success. We had a beautiful graduation as well, followed by a trip to Dorney Park. So good luck, class of 2026. On June 17th, 2022, four of our middle school BPA students had the great honor to present their projects and ideas to Matt Meyer, the county executive of Newcastle County. We're very proud of the BPA's accomplishments this year. As we head into the summer, the middle school is hard at work scheduling students for the upcoming school year. Look for those coming out soon as well. From the high school perspective, we had an amazing graduation this year. In a new venue, it was really, really nice. Thank you to all the board members, the staff, the students, and the parents for making such a memorable event at the Grand Opera House. The end of the year was truly a whirlwind. There were so many activities, prom, field trips, graduation, final exams. We're looking forward to an amazing 2022-23 school year as we welcome our largest freshman class ever and grow the high school overall by over 33%. All of our students should have completed their course selections at this time. We're hard at work on the scheduling for that and hope to share the student schedules as soon as we possibly can. The school choice process is still continuing at the high school. We're looking forward to welcoming, as we said, our largest ninth grade class. We're excited to welcome our first class of Odyssey Honors Academy students as well to the high school in the fall. These are 29 outstanding students who will be taking all high school level courses and accelerating their learning. We're also recruiting families who would potentially like to host a foreign exchange student in the fall If you're interested, please email Ms. Lipson for further details on that. High school recognitions. Congratulations to our 2022-23 school year student councils. We did just held elections for the rising 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. We'll hold 9th grade elections in the fall when they return back to school. 12th grade president is Charlotte Walder. Vice president is Leah Kozlowski. Secretary is Celine Lourdes Maria. Treasurer Lourdes Aguiman. And council members Jack Roberts and Jamila Mohammed. 11th grade, we have Mia Carini as the president, vice president Daksha Kashik, secretary Dhruvi Patel. We have our treasurer Cheryl Martinez, and council members are Kayla Zolano and Asla Desai. In 10th grade, we have our president Isha Sajiraju, vice president Arnaf Taduvayi, secretary Isabella Mendoza, Treasurer Hiba Awan, and council members Rujul Sivakumar and Imani Ezuogu. So congratulations to them. We'd also like to take a moment and congratulate one of our baseball players who was named to the second team all non-conference, third baseman Ian Lester, because of his great year. He was part of that all-conference team, which includes schools like Salesianum, St. Mark's, Red Lion, Christian Academy, Caravelle, Delmarva Christian. So congratulations to Ian. Congratulations to Coach Bosco and Coach Holler as well for that amazing accomplishment. Updates on school priorities, enrollment. We're in the process of registering our new students for the 22-23 school year. Students are still submitting their applications for enrollment. We're especially excited to have over 60 new students from outside of our district joining the high school. Next year's ninth grade class, as we've mentioned, looks to be the biggest class we've had yet, with potentially over 140 students for a 57.3% increase from the 21-22 school year. Moving on past that, from the curriculum and instruction department, our placement assessments, new incoming middle school and high school students will be offered dates throughout the summer to get acquainted with the OCS and take placements for ELA and mathematics. Our K-5 reading curriculum pilot is in progress in preparation for next school year's full curriculum piloting of Amplify CKLA reading curriculum for teachers at each grade level. We'll conduct the pilot. The goal is to determine if there is a difference in reading achievement for students who were taught using the Amplify reading program compared to those who were not. Data will be analyzed and desegregated to determine effectiveness across all groups, EL, special education, immersion, and non-immersion, and teachers met with Amplify on Monday, the 13th of June, when they received the material and began planning for the next year. Additional professional development will be provided to them before the beginning of the school year. In terms of instructional budgets, the instructional resources related to instructional needs are being submitted within the budget request for this upcoming school year. Academic leadership is working to fine-tune our academic schedules for the entire school year, and the CIA is working hard on creating a structured PD schedule that will continue each week throughout the school year. So that will be coming out very soon as well. Assessment data, all AP testing was completed during the last month of school. Final scores will be shared when they are published in July. SVAC scores, it's kind of the same thing. Once we have the fully released exams at the end of the month, we'll be able to share some data on that. And the another update over here is we are in the process of now in our new proposed budget of intending to hire a district testing administrator to prepare administration of all state-mandated assessment programs, including the training of campus testing personnel, as well as preparing testing materials. This position will also collect and analyze state-mandated assessments and report to various stakeholders like the head of schools, deans, the CIA, PLCs, board members, and the community at large. Financial update, I'm going to leave that up to Jeff for us today. Transportation update, we have May of 2022, our fleet ran 99.998% on time, and in June, 100% on time for all buses. We ran 1,050 total routes in May and 400 routes in June. Four new buses are being delivered by July 30th of 2022. Our tentative 2022-23 routes are online. Again, these routes are tentative, and we are still updating and moving stops around. And this will continue through September as we try to get to as close to perfect as we can And once we have all demographic information of you know, over all of our families, you know, that also helps us in doing this. The monthly dashboard is on the website for April and May as well, if somebody wants to take a look at that. From our student services, for English language learners, as new registrations come in the ELL department, we're reviewing them for the fall screens based on the survey completed by the families. Please do note, if a student has another language other than English in home, in their home, on their registration, we will be screening the ELL services in the fall. We're working on planning for a new school year to support all of our students receiving EL services. MTSS, we have our summer learning leap, which is going to be scheduled to begin 7/12 to 8/4. So July 12th to August 4th, building 22, Monday to Thursday, 9 to 12:30. Breakfast and lunch are included in that. From special education, emails have been sent out to the students who are part of our special education summer program. We're continuing the process of reviewing the student scheduling based on the needs, using the Stetson model and collaborative model of teaching. And we're working on the special education training for all staff next school year, focused on collaborative teaching model, including inclusive practices to support all learners. We are in the process of hiring 5 new secondary special education teachers for the 2022-23 school year. And our educational diagnosticians are working to identify new special education students in the school for next year and complete the September 30th count for the state. From an IT perspective, all classroom tech has been removed from building 20 that will be reinstalled to building 26. All tech above has been staged in building 27. All internal moves in building 21 have been completed. Currently, we're in the process of doing all internal building 23 moves. All middle school Chromebooks have been collected and stored in building 21. 60% of all academia LCD projectors have been removed as well. Let's move on to the next one. For facilities, we moved all K classroom chairs to building 27 for staging. There were about 150 plus of those. Moved all kindergarten classroom open front desks to building 27. Moved all K classroom rectangular tables to building 27, including finding these tables throughout the building and organizing them again. We found 23 combo desks throughout the building 22 and populated a classroom in building 22 with those. Moved 24 chairs from the first floor to the second floor of building 22, cleared out 19 cafeteria tables in building 20 and moved it to building 27. The flagpole project for building 22 is underway as well. And I believe the 2 flagpoles have arrived and the digging is going to, on the foundation is going to begin next week. Let's see, in addition to that, we prepared a list of moves for building 21 internally into building 20 with Adrian. Over 200 pieces of furniture need to be moved by in-house personnel, removing everything from 4 classrooms in the first floor in building 20 so we can move furniture into the building 21 and stage in building 27. We're starting to move furniture from building 21 over to building 20 as well, and moving furniture internally into building 21. We need to remove 18 dry erase boards from building 20 and reinstall them in building 26. And that's pretty much what's going on over there. Food service, our 2021-22 represented the most meals ever prepared and served by OCS food service program. So congratulations to our food service for completing a very productive year. 22-23 is likely going to be significantly different as we kind of go back to the way things were pre-COVID. So this is one of the reminders for families to please fill out the meal benefit forms for the next school year. The forms will be uploaded to the website and sent to the families in July. This is very, very critical for us to have our correct numbers for the federal government reporting. Fundraising and development. There are quite a few developments over here as well. The fundraising committee met on May 23rd. The committee covered a development activities update report. Also attending, making reports were Jeff Koss, who updated the committee on the status of the OCS strategic plan. I attended the meeting and asked for some help to create something that we're calling Under the Stars, which is a mini gala fundraiser. I outlined the plan for kind of a 2-part event, first slated for August 19th as an in-house event targeted to parents and staff, with the second event slated for September 10th to focus on our friends and sponsors. Both are to be executed as fundraisers with raised funds to support the lower school rebranding and the new playground equipment. I did request that the committee take on the event and its fundraising objective. The committee agreed to take on the project and to seek the board's approval and blessing. Our committee chairperson, Georgia Halakos, will present to the board at the board meeting today. Other development works in progress are planned. During the past 2 months, regular marketing and communication campaigns have been conducted via our OCS and PTO social media, as well as via student family emails. The PTO brick campaign has rolled out. A limited time offer featuring a buy a brick and get a free replica brick with your order with free use of images is now in effect. We have seen several new brick orders as a result of the recent rollout. We'll begin reporting results in September with the return from Greece by the brick campaign coordinator, Michael Roussos. The next flagpole and brick installation is slated for the intermediate school, with the brick and flagpoles that have been ordered, and I just told you that the flagpoles arrived. Site signs are in the process, allowing patron acknowledgement of their orders, with the final site implementation pending. Discussions continue regarding the feasibility of the OCS Health Fair as a targeted fundraiser to offset anticipated expansion of our nursing staff needs, as well as the community health fair. We have met with nursing and athletic department staff who have shown an interest in this project. We're tracking the proposed timeline, which includes the review of a concept now through the end of August, and then a go, no-go decision by September and an event slated for March of 2023. This concept jumps off the success OCS had in partnering with the American Heart Association and looks to harness the mission goals of several medical nonprofits. We hope that by using peer-to-peer fundraising on the part of our students and the community to foster both healthy living while raising for OCS school and community health-related needs. The follow-up to our inaugural annual appeal will feature a second Blackboard appeal to those families who have not had the opportunity or did not respond to our first appeal. We're proceeding with the copy creation and execution of this appeal with a target completion by the end of June. We kicked off our first quarterly newsletter, which went out just this past week. Our next development newsletter is scheduled for the month of September. A focused effort to create and execute a corporate sponsorship appeal will soon be underway as well. This is planned as a mailing with email and phone call follow-up appeal. We anticipate targeting corporate entities offering customizable sponsorship opportunities. While we do anticipate we'll move immediately on the collateral for the billboard sponsorship, we expect to complete the entire sponsorship appeal collateral no later than September. To include all ways that a sponsor can partner with Odyssey Charter School, like bricks and other sponsorships, to include the scoreboard logo sponsor, bleacher ads, school activities funds, as well as other current projects like new playground equipment. With the discovery of some OCS historic sponsor data and the cleanup of our lists, we expect to expand our inaugural campaign nearly 150 corporate sponsor targets. Grant focus for the development office is on the larger grant opportunities. We anticipate making these appeals utilizing the currently in the progress board initiated strategy document. We hope to set preliminary meetings with the key targets, Longwood Welfare, et cetera, prior to September with grant applications submitted in the fall cycle. And then beginning in the focused effort in the month of August, we anticipate bringing on and establishing our little green light CRM system. We expect to begin to benefit from the tracking and automation aspects of our system software soon. From a human resources perspective, the 2022-23 school recruiting is in full swing. Open job postings are active and interviews are currently being held or scheduled. CBA contracts and non-CBA letters of intent to renew for the fiscal year 23 have already been issued. Board approvals, there's an EF tours training tour for Ms. Jessica Inskeep in Barcelona, Spain on October 6th to 10th of 2022. And then from safety and security, we are in the process of removing all door stops. Facility is going to be removing all door stops from the doors that are entering and exiting. We are changing the door profiles. The staff will be assigned to the front door only in their building. Side entrances will be used by facilities and food service as needed. That's being done by IT. We are adding an extra laminate film to the front doors of each building, making it nearly impossible to get through when shut and locked properly. This is being done by an outside contractor through the help of the Delaware State Police. Our ALICE training is scheduled for all staff on the 16th of September, which is an async day for 6 to 12, and then again on October 7th. All right, that covers the updates from my end.
Thank you, Elias. Any questions for Elias? I had one quick question on the Parent Advisory Council and the Student Advisory Council that you're putting together. Is that council going to cover the entire school, or are you looking to potentially look at building councils, for example, that look at the lower school, high school, because there may be differences in what they are interested in, or initially you're just kind of looking at one larger group that kind of covers?
The parent council will have an executive council, and then it'll be they'll have general sessions after that. And the executive council will have representation from each school, okay, so that we are making sure that we're hitting those needs. Okay. The student council is the same thing. It's basically all the student reps that are coming in from 5 to 12.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's going to be implemented in the new school year?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. No, that's good to know. Any other questions for Mr. Pappas? Because we're going to jump over now to Jeff to do the financials.
Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Oh.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. How often would the councils be meeting?
We haven't determined that yet, but we would be meeting with them every quarter for sure, but we don't know how many times a quarter yet.
Would there be some type of, besides emailing you interest, is there any type of application system that we're thinking about or pulling from?
No, there's no application system. It's just right now, just we're checking for general interest. The student council one is pretty specific. It's our elected student representatives.
Okay, that was my follow-up. If we're utilizing the middle and high school student council students,
we're going to go all the way down to fifth. I think below fifth would be a little bit difficult for us.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jessica. Did anybody else have any questions? I don't know if all the mics are working there.
Just one thing on the doorstops coming off. I mean, technically, once we stop like COVID and people start coming to board meetings more often, the doors do need to be propped open anytime there's a public meeting, whether it's a CVOC, a board meeting, the public has to be able to come and go pretty much unfettered. Then that was from Dick Riggs, the DOE rep from the CBOC a few years ago.
Just on a safety and security piece, we'll make sure that those doors are propped with door stops on those evening events for sure. Okay.
That may seem like a silly thing, but it's one thing. It's something we don't want to run, we don't want to give the impression that it's not an open meeting.
That's a closed meeting, correct. I got you, Paul. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul. And any other comments? Yeah, no good comments. And board meetings and subcommittee meetings, CBOC and committee meetings as well, too. Unless they're executive session, they need to be open to the public with open doors so anybody can come in and sit in if they want to. Thanks, Paul. So we'll turn it over to Jeff to do the financials, and then we'll go on to the Greek School report. So Jeff, do you want to walk us through the numbers?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I got near the mic. Can We're going to be reviewing the monthly finance report for the month ending May 31st, 2022, which represents 11 months or 92% of the fiscal year. As we've previously discussed, the final budgeted revenues are $38 million and revenues collected to date are $37.9 million or 99.9% of the budget. Revenues received during May were pretty standard. There was an uptick in the student body activities as we had a lot of year-end field trips and class trips and things of that nature that are supported by the families that participate in those. But outside of that, we're pretty much where we would expect to be. On the expenditure side, the final budgeted expenditures are $30.2 million and expenses to date are $27.3 million. Representing 91% of the budget, where we would like to be at this point in the year. And this is the web report for May. A couple additional notes. In our projections, interest income and aftercare revenue projections were reduced as aftercare does not bill specifically for the month of June because it's so small, but we do expect payments to be trickling in that month. An anticipated increase of vehicle maintenance and parts expenses in June, as we had some substantial repairs and parts purchased for some of our buses to keep all the routes on time. We've also been experiencing about 20 to 30% inflation on some of the items that we normally get, obviously, as well as fuel. I believe we mentioned last month, Odyssey has been awarded as a sub-grantee for the state for school nutrition supply chain assistance for $42,000 to offset invoices from this year. We're expecting to receive the funding prior to the end of the fiscal year. Melissa Tracy received $2,000 from Franklin Mint Federal Credit Union Foundation for recognition as a 2022 Excellence in Teaching Award recipient. Congrats, Melissa. The Athletics Fall Founding Fundraiser, as Elias mentioned, was a great success. I know I personally had a lot of fun. I was great to see a lot of you guys there. The final accounting is being completed, but we anticipate to net approximately $7,000 to $8,000 for the athletics facilities and program. To date, $1.56 million of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the final budgeted amount of $1.75 million. And the projected year-end cash on hand is $8.56 million, of which $6.9 is unrestricted, and $1.65 million is restricted for federal funds. Any questions on the monthly report?
Jeff, is there a time scale where we have to spend some of the federal dollars that we have?
So yeah, on an annual basis, our consolidated grant funds that we normally get year over year normally have to be spent by November of the following year. Majority of our carryover funds, though, are related to the funds we received for COVID, and a majority of those funds run through November of 2024. So we talk about a little bit in the later in the meeting with the next year's budget, but we do anticipate to carry some over again through FY24 into the final spend there.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Jeff? We have a motion to approve the monthly report, the web report.
Santa Maria, I move we accept the monthly web report.
That was a little low. If somebody can repeat it on the mic.
Aaron, second.
Okay. Who was first?
Santa Maria.
Anna Maria and Aaron. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor? Raise your hands, maybe. You can see. Thank you all. All right, motion carries. Thank you. Any other updates, Jeff, on the financials?
I think we're going to discuss the proposal of the preliminary budget for 23 in new business or go to the school.
Yeah, okay. We can do that. Next item up. Are you done, Jeff? We have it there. Okay. Next item up is the Greek program report. Is Dr. Lukaku on?
Good evening. I will continue in the congratulations strand that Mr. Pappas started. We had all these graduations. So our students had the opportunity to showcase their Greek language skills and their love of Greek culture in all graduations. And we were very proud of them. Allow me though to say that the kindergarten graduation was adorable. It was beautiful to watch all these 6 years old singing their farewell song in Greek. If you missed it this year, keep it in mind for next year. With the end of the 21-22 school year, I selected to present to you four of the most important achievements of the Greek program that started this year and will continue next year. So first, it's a milestone. Odyssey's immersion program was accepted in January in the Delaware World Language Expansion Initiative, the Cohort 9. And from now on, OCS will partner with dominant languages such as Mandarin, Chinese, and Spanish. And we will receive funds to support a Greek language immersion program from DOE. Another achievement, I think, was a very successful collaboration with all stakeholders to prepare for the expansion of the immersion program for next year. So now we are ready for an exciting 22-23 school year. We are going to welcome for the first time a fifth grade immersion honors and non-honors class. And also we developed a new set of immersion cohorts in first grade. Therefore, the program, the immersion program, grows in two directions, vertically and laterally. Another point is that every week throughout the year, we informed our Odyssey community via the Greek newsletter about the academic performance of our students, about what was happening in the Greek language rooms K through 12 across programs, and about several cultural events that we organized throughout the year to celebrate Greek culture and also cross-cultural diversity within our community. Finally, we continued and further developed our collaboration between our older students, mostly 6 through 12, with the American College of Athens, the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki, and the American Farm School in Thessaloniki again. So the Greek program is very ready and excited for next year, for the continuation of all these successful activities, in addition, of course, to new projects that we have in mind to better serve our students on their journey towards what else? Global citizenship, critical thinking, equity, and diversity. Kalo kalokeri se olus. Have a nice summer, unless if you have questions for me.
Thank you, Dr. Lukaku. Does anybody have any questions about the Greek program report? Just one general question. So the immersion is now pushing up into fifth grade. Is that correct? So we're going to have K through five immersion right now at this point.
Next year, we're going to have our first graduate students from the elementary, from the immersion program.
That'll be great. That'll be great. 5 years of immersion. This should be pretty fluent by then.
Oh, yes. Six.
Six. That's right. Kindergarten. That's right.
Kindergarten, yes.
Okay, any other questions for Dr. Lukaku? All right, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And have a good summer as well, too. Next item up on the agenda is the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee report. Evan, are you going to provide a report on that?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. We met this evening at 5:15. I'm gonna, at the end, invite some new members who would like to join the CBOC, but we reviewed the minutes, the previous minutes of May 18th. They were approved. We had a summer holiday discussion. We will not be meeting in July and August, and that will be published on our website. We will be meeting in September. I know it's right around the corner. Sorry for saying that. We reviewed the financials and the monthly report, the same thing that Jeff went over. Dick Riggs had the exact same question as you, Elias, about how long the federal funds can be spent down for. We also then reviewed the P-card transactions. Some of the questions came up about R&D job postings, a cooking school transaction, the Dallas travel trip transaction, our Crown Trophies transactions, Bloomsbury transaction, and all were answered by Jeff Koss. Last month, there was a board request to provide a number of P-card transactions and the monetary amount associated with that. This will be included in our CBOC minutes. It's just going to be a new item on the agenda. I wanted to review that now. John Stewart, under the facilities purchasing card, had 9 transactions for $514. Under Jeff Koss's card, which is the encompass of the entire school and some operations, had 82 transactions for $24,293.40. And Dino Harrelin-Beatty's under IT had 18 transactions totaling $10,773.35. Under suggestions and questions, we've been discussing the parent involvement at a number of other school districts. CBOC is run by that. It's run by the citizens. And we are going to be looking for 3 to 4 more parents to get involved and join this committee for next year. The commitment is 30 to 60 minutes once a month. And you're giving back to your child's school and one of the best schools in the state. So we also wanted to wish everybody to have a great summer. You will be seeing a number of pushes from us for people to join the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee. And we'd like to join some other school districts that turn over 4 to 5 different parent volunteers every single year. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff. Evan, any questions for Evan on any of the CBOC transactions? No questions. I can't hear everybody. Only comment I had was I didn't like your comment about being one of the best schools in Delaware. Eventually, I want to hear you say we're the best school in Delaware. So we're waiting for that to come out. Hopefully, we're on a trajectory for getting there, and that's the goal and the plan. So hopefully, that'll be the phrase that we use.
Sure is. I'm just working on
transportation. The very near future. Yeah. Thanks. Well, we are voted the best school in Delaware, so we can use that. Thanks. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Evan. Next up, we're going to go through committee reports. And we'll go through, I don't know if any have taken place over the last month or so, but first up is the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Any updates on that, Helen or Eva, since the last meeting?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, so since the last meeting, we joined forces with the Green Team and we donated almost charities. Continue. So at this point, our food pantry is kind of depleted, so we're gonna appeal to you once again. And that's a wonderful thing. That means we're helping somebody who needs it, right? So in the beginning of the year, we're gonna appeal again to your generosity to refurbish that little pantry we have at the school. Also today, we started some very preliminary conversations about possibly starting a GSA club in the middle school. But again, it's just at the very, very preliminary stages. We'll keep you posted. GSA stands for, SGA or GSA? GSA, Gay Straight Alliance.
Sorry, thank you, Eva. Any questions for Eva or Helen on that? Next up, Immersion Committee. Anna Maria, any updates from the Immersion Committee?
We have not held a meeting. since last month.
We haven't held a meeting since last month, but I do want to, and Dr. Ioana covered everything that the Greek program has been doing, the immersion program and plus program, but what I do want to do is thank her for her outstanding job. She has completed her first year as acting dean, and I just want to thank her for the success that she had with the program and thank her for all her work in filling that position. It was a challenge, and she definitely stood up to it. So thank you, Dr. Ioana.
Thank you, Anna Marie. Any questions for Anna Marie or Dr. Lukaku on the immersion committee? Next up is fundraising committee. Georgia, any updates on that?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Good evening. So the fundraising committee, their last meeting was on May 23rd. We haven't met this month. And as our head of school, Mr. Pappas, mentioned earlier, his idea was to have like a mini fundraiser for the lower school reveal. And that would be something like the first one would be maybe, I think, August 19th. And that would be more of a in-house parent and staff get together. We want to do a little bit of a larger one on September 10th and call it like Under the Stars, an evening Under the Stars, and make it a little more, upscale, maybe rent some nice tables, maybe a smaller tent. And then we would like to get more people involved and have friends and sponsors. So it could be like more of a fundraiser for the things we need for the lower school, for the playground equipment, for things like that. So that would be September 10th. So we will start working on it. And we hope to include some others, like some others that could come, maybe like a HEPA and Daughters and other organizations, and include them and invite them, and hopefully they would be sponsors. So we would like to start working on it, but we'd like to get the approval of the board and see how they feel about it. And I think once, we do that, we're going to start working on it this month and next month, and hopefully it'll come together nicely by September 10th. I don't know if anyone has any questions, and maybe, our head of school could chime in on this too. He had some great ideas. So I don't know, Mr. Pappas, if you want to, give a little bit more on what you were thinking for the lower school showcase.
Are you leveraging Carl's talents as well? Because I know he has a lot. We were talking about the gala, and I know he has a lot of contacts that he reaches out to.
Yes, definitely. We will all work together with Carl, the fundraising committee, of course, head of school. We're going to try to get some other maybe organizations to come on board and feel included and maybe bring sponsorship. So that's our plan.
Can I ask a question, Georgia? Can you hear me? Georgia.
Thank you, Georgia. Any other questions for Georgia on the fundraising committee?
Yeah, just a quick question. Why is this just for the lower school? Why can't we do it for the entire school? Maybe I missed it somewhere.
Well, I think the thinking was the lower school is going to be, there's going to be work done, and it's going to be sort of a reveal for that. But we could definitely, include the whole school. I don't know if we have time to plan for something larger, but I don't know. I would like to think, what our head of school would think about that. His idea was more about a reveal for the lower school.
And I think with the new building.
I think it might be a good idea to focus, if you're going to have, even each year, if we have a different gala or every other year, to focus on a specific area so people know where they're donating, where it's going, and they have a goal to shoot for, whether it be the facilities, the gym, the different things. This way, at least have a focus.
Yes, this will be primarily for things that the lower school needs.
And that would be held over the course of the summer and into the before the school year begins, or when is that?
We're planning to have the larger one on September 10th.
August 15th.
August 19th will be for the parents staff, and the staff to get to come in and you know, mingle and meet and see, you know, how the classrooms and everything is going. September 10th would bring in the sponsors, the friends, other organizations to come on campus.
And I think to Eva's question, because we're changing buildings, it's a new facility, new layout, new classrooms, new everything, it's good for folks to kind of get a view and an inside understanding of what that new facility looks like for the students, because it is quite different. And getting some money to kind of get that thing up and running and operational and going smoothly, I think, is a good idea. It doesn't preclude us from raising funds for other buildings, yes, as well.
Yes, doing other galas, doing something later in the year, doing it, you know, off-site. This will be on-site so people can see the work that's been done and just try to raise a little bit of money for some of the classrooms and maybe the playground. So that was the thinking behind it.
Have a specific goal or target of how much money to raise and or how many sponsors we want to get?
Well, we were thinking, you know, wouldn't be huge amounts. I think maybe 50 to 75,000. That was what we had talked about, but
that is ambitious for 100. So,
okay. Or yeah. I mean, it's we don't have a lot of time to work on it. And the problem is that a lot of people, you know, are away. It's, you know, we have July, which is a difficult month. So we're not going to have a huge goal. We'd rather, you know, keep it a little lower and hopefully we can exceed it. But it's not going to be like, you know, we have like a year to plan it. So I think it's going to be difficult to get a lot of big sponsors, but we're going to do our best to raise the most we can.
Thank you, Georgia. Okay. Any other questions about the fundraising committee? Why don't we move over to the finance committee? Erin, any updates on that?
We had a... Ooh, that's a very bright light. We had a very detailed review of the proposed budget from Jeff at the Finance Committee meeting, went into detail on the revenues, the expenses, those sorts of things. And the committee is recommending that the board approve the budget when Jeff presents it in new business. We have an upcoming meeting with the bondholders as well, I think next a couple weeks. So that's it.
Thank you, Erin. Any questions for Erin? I know we're going to go through the Finance Committee meeting updates in a few minutes once we get to the end of the meeting. All right, thanks. Next up, non-HIPAA nominating committee. Does anybody want to jump in and provide a quick update on that from the committee?
Okay.
Yep, you can stand up
straight. All right, we had a non-HIPAA nominating committee meeting yesterday. The decision was made and voted on to renew Erin and Eva's terms for the next 3 years. And also we discussed a role swap between Elias Regas and myself. Elias will become the community rep and I would be a parent rep. It's his term. We'll keep the terms that we have. His term would come up earlier, and we were thinking maybe we could open that position up sooner to a wider pool. I mean, historically, mostly parents apply, but it gives us the opportunity to possibly bring in a fresh voice onto the board that's outside of Odyssey and brings a different perspective. That's about it.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions for Paul? All right, so we'll move on. Next on the list is a PTO report, but they're not available this board meeting to give a report. They'll provide a report at the next board meeting and updates on what's happening for the PTO. New business. Right now we have listed expansion modification, but I think that's a carryover from last year. What we want to discuss, I think, at this point is the proposed budget for next year. I think, Jeff, you're going to walk us through some of those numbers.
Hello again. All right, sort of a detailed summary doc is on the screen now, and I'm just going to kind of speak through some summary notes. So for the preliminary budget for FY 2023, the enrollment is based on 2,143 students, which is an increase of 155 students, predominantly spanning across grades 6 through 12. The departure of Academia Antonio Alonso from Building 26, the move of the OCS Lower School to Building 26, and the partial usage of Building 20 by the OCS Middle School allowed for the increased enrollment without capital infrastructure major needs. On state operation revenue, we're anticipating an increase of 3.5% per student based on the proposed state bill, including a step increase and a 2% increase onto the state scale for all employees, as well as a step increase. Additionally, there are other thresholds OCS may cross with the additional enrollment, newly added substitute funding, added CTE minutes, mid-year unit count from outside of state, and added space from additional building. In other state revenue, it includes a $60,000 increase to the Opportunity Fund, $225,000 from the Mental Health HB 100 from the state, and $438,000 to offset the state-funded portion of the 27th pay based on the unit count on September 30th. The budget does not include the state proposed one-time bonus payment of $500 for employees. The expectation is this will be a direct deposit from the state and will not flow directly through the school's funds, similar to the $1,000 bonus this past year. Local district transfers, based on the FY22 per pupil amounts with a 1.5% increase to take into account the increased amount for K-3 basic designations and increased efficiencies with identifying students with varying special education needs. For federal grants, it includes $868,000 of new federal funding, as well as a carryover of $1.6 million. Budgeting carryover of $723,000 of restricted federal funds into FY 2024, 98% of which is ESSER ARP funding. I will continue to monitor throughout the June monthly report and update the grants portion of the budget at that point, as we're doing this before the fiscal year is actually finished. This budget includes $265,000 combined for capital and operating fundraising. Capital fundraising specified as the fundraising committee and the PTO's contribution for the playground equipment in Building 26. Additional operating fundraising attributed to the annual appeal, fundraising committee Building Number 26 event, health fair fundraiser, green team grants, and support from Wegmans and the PTO to support OCS events serving meals or refreshments. On the expenditure side, for school operations, staffing needs are based on the master matrix scheduling and enrollment estimates. Assumptions made at additions being at a master step 5 based on our average from SY21-22. We're looking at adding at the high school, a full-time Spanish teacher, which was converted from a long-term sub, ELA, science, and math. The middle school, 2 science units. For the Greek program, 3 units to help for the additional immersion program expansions and for coverage in the middle and high school. Special education, 3 spec ed units and a conversion of our part-time paraprofessionals to full-time paraprofessionals. Nursing, 1 half-time unit. And in the administration, a middle school student advisor for the Building 20 needs of the school and all other additional enrollment needs. Additional staffing increases to further advance the programming and SEL needs of the school. We're looking at a high school college counselor, a K-5 counselor/behavioral interventionist, a K-2 reading specialist and replacing a CIA coordinator with a testing coordination specialist. This budget includes teacher salary increases, which is a step increase, and the state scale increases 2%, local increases in accordance with the CBA. And the administrative salary increases passing through the state COLA of 2% and a 2% step increase for majority. It includes a 27th pay for FY 2023, which the board approved in the last meeting, which approximately cost the school net around $200,000 organization-wide. The cost of temporary employment services and substitutes reflects closer to the school year 21-22 numbers than the trends from previous, as there's no anticipation of a slowing down of some of the outages. And capital equipment is included to offset the $60,000 budget for the capital campaign fundraising. The grants include the testing coordination specialist, one CIA coordinator, five full-time paraprofessionals, one full-time ELL paraprofessional, one part-time custodian for daytime, one full-time IT help desk technician to assist with the one-to-one technology, partial preventive maintenance on the HVAC system, the pilot program for the K-5 ELA curriculum upgrade, the prior year Chromebook spend down, and school safety capital items, specifically the building number 23 entrance remodel and an additional bus cameras. This is a federal grant that we're applying for, and if not attained, will not expend over $50,000 without specified approval from the board. Each division submitted a proposed budget, which was vetted and amended as necessary, and here are some of the highlights. In the athletics program, revenue includes $40,000 for 2023 summer camps, $30,000 for the 2023 golf outing, and $10,000 for team fundraising, which based on where we landed this year, may actually be on the light end. Revenue also includes $9,000 for implementing a pay-for-play system for our players, which is not a barrier to participate. Financial hardships are absorbed by the school. The anticipated cost for that would be $25 per student per sport in the middle school and $50 per student per sport in high school. And we're assuming a 30% reduction based on potential financial need. On the expenditure side, we're assuming year two of the EPR MOU that's included and includes the cost contracted for an athletic trainer to services to attend home games, and includes the cost for our home gym at the Grail, and capital items may include additional bleachers. In food services, the summer feeding program is unlikely to be extended throughout the next school year, although that's still to be determined. So there's a decrease in revenue due to not serving academia next year. There's a salary scale increase for part-time employees to remain competitive in that field, adding one additional full-time employee as an assistant chef, a donation of $85,000 worth of equipment for building number 26 from Cecil County Public Schools, so that expense is not included in the budget this time. On the facilities end, we've added a 13th evening custodian to assist with cleaning the partial use of building 20, and we're absorbing the building number 26, utilities and maintenance. On the transportation end, it includes adding four lightly used buses, the purchase and outfitting of the buses, bus purchases completed with potential three-year financing, that's what's assumed in the budget, increased employee and variable costs associated with the fleet additions. We're going to continue to service our five red clay routes and remove the need for first student as contracted service on a regular basis. Continue seeing vehicle maintenance and repair efficiencies. We're assuming a 5% increase in insurance rates based on current trends and an increase to the driver pay scale and adjustment to include the previous bonus structure into the hourly rate. In the IT realm, this includes the cost to replace 60 classroom laptops, which is approximately half of where we're at. The age and current status to determine the replacement priorities. The grants continuing to cover the annual cost of the one-to-one Chromebook purchase, but the school's operating budget does include a Chromebook refresh for grades 3-12. This budget includes an increase to our data service center to include the full suite of modules for inventory tracking, payroll efficiencies, et cetera. I think right now we're using about four of the modules and they have a lot more to offer. Additional equipment for our IT needs are actually being donated by Cape Henlopen School District to meet some of our growing needs. So that also was a savings we didn't need to recognize in the budget. Congrats to Dino for using his connections. In the development office, this includes hiring a full-time admin assistant and a decrease to a sunset of our consultant role of Carl, but to remain involved pro bono. Some general items. The ending cash balance before spending any of the state required contingency of $578,000 would be $8.1 million, an overall decrease of cash of approximately $460,000. However, of the ending cash balance of 8.2, an estimated 7.4 would be unrestricted, which removes the balance of the federal fund carryover, which is an increase of $470,000 from FY 2022, which is important that we do that as we approach the final year in FY 24 of our COVID grant funding. Some of our investor covenants based on the budgeted unrestricted cash balance has a debt coverage ratio of 1.58x and days of cash on hand of approximately 87 days with the FY 23 covenant for the state being 75 days. What's not included in this budget? Some potential revenue to gain. So we are currently applying for about 4 to 5 grants due in mid-July, one of which is the DECSP grant, which OCS will apply and should be qualified based on the enrollment increase and from a high quality charter school perspective. Previously, up to $750,000 could be awarded for that. That process, the grant, we've submitted our intent to apply. The application is due on July 15th. Awards occur during August, and the funding is processed in October. We're also applying for the YAS Prize STOP grant, which is a Sustainable, Transformational, Outstanding, and Permissionless Education Award. OCS will apply, and up to $1 million is available for the grand prize, a possible additional amounts for semifinalists. We're also partnering with other charter schools to potentially perform services for it. There's also potential of increased fundraising efforts. And lastly, the tuition tax item, which I think we've discussed previously and during board meetings. The Secretary of Education's working group was unable to come to a consensus, and next steps are yet to be determined in totality. Some deferred expenses that are not included in this budget as well, to convert additional part-time custodians to full-time. Last year, we converted 4 part-time to full-time. We'd like to continue that. An additional part-time custodian, parking lot repairs of estimating around $140,000, but there's some larger infrastructure paving needs that may be wrapped up in a new money bond offering in the future. Replace carpet in classrooms and hallways with VCT, which approximates about $90,000. The back entrance opening, which approximates between $50,000 to $100,000. Some significant food service equipment, an additional math specialist, and some ancillary instructional supplies.
That's
a lot.
Question, paying for play, is that normal
or not? Yeah, most of our sister charter schools do that. And honestly, the amount that we're proposing can be about a third of what some other schools charge. That's just something that we'll start where we go and kind of see as we're trying to beef up and expand that program, generally speaking. So we figured we'd start smaller.
And you said something about sunsetting Carl. Do we have a director of development that we're looking at, or somebody who's
going to
be doing our developmental program?
Not yet. In the meeting that I had with, I had a meeting with Carl, and this was basically on his request. And he basically, where we are at for what our needs of the school are in the development office, are primarily administrative in nature. Obviously, and that's why he wants to continue, and he loves the school, and it didn't take long. And he wants to continue in some capacity. And the sunsetting, I don't think, would take place until the end of the calendar year. But as far as being involved to assist and be a part of the finance, or not the finance, the fundraising committee and that, but I think he thinks that our funds would be better utilized with someone that can handle the mailing, the reoccurring items, managing the CRM system and something like that, which is, in his eyes, kind of falls outside of his expertise. So that's where we're at right now with that, but you know, that'll continue to evolve as that changes.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other questions for Jeff about the budget for next year?
Just one quick question regarding the increase in travel. Is that more in line with what it was pre-COVID?
Yeah, so that's going back to those previous numbers. And as we saw, we did have a couple groups take trips, like the BPA went to Dallas and things like that. So I was kind of assuming that those go back.
We couldn't really hear the question. I just want to know if you could repeat it, Jeff.
It was about the increase in travel, and it's more bringing the numbers back to the pre-COVID budgeted numbers than the reduction that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Got it, thanks. Any other questions for Jeff? I just had a quick, just want to clarify. So the on the revenue side, we've got the decrease in the food service by 294,000 and facilities rental by 715,000. Is that fully and exclusively the departure of Academia Alonzo?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I had. Okay. Any other questions for Jeff? So we'll have to approve the budget for next year, or the preliminary budget for next year. All right, do we have a motion to approve the preliminary budget for next year?
Move to approve the preliminary budget for next year.
This is Paul, this is Anna Maria, I second.
Paul does a motion, Anna Marie seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Sorry, I'm a little stuck here on my screen. Next up, new business. The one item that we didn't mention, we went through the committee reports and talked about the non-HIPAA nominating committee and the new appointees. I also received notification as well from the president of the AHEPA. There were two candidates that were up for renewal of their terms, Georgia Halakos and Helen Anderson. Both board directors were approved for renewal of their terms by the director, so both Georgia and Helen will be serving their second and final terms on the board as well, starting 1 July. So congratulations. Congratulations to all the renewals. Thank you. Any other comments or questions for anybody under new business? The only other items, we do have a couple items to discuss in executive session related to potential litigation and potentially some personnel items. So barring that, we're pretty much done with the open meeting. So I've opened up a breakout room for the executive session for all those involved. So
Santa Maria, I move we adjourn to executive session.
And Jessica, you have a second?
Jessica second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Thank you. We'll move into executive session. I don't know if that helped or not. So we're back in executive session. It's 9:24 p.m. No, sorry. Do we have a motion to approve what was discussed in executive session? I can't hear any. I can't hear you, Anna Marie. You're muted right now.
I'm sorry, you were muted.
So, Aaron motioned to approve what was discussed in executive session pending review, and Anna Maria
seconds.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Travel.
The motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
No.
I reapprove the travel request for October for Miss Inski.
I second.
International travel for
Barcelona. For training.
I second.
For training. And 10 seconds.
No discussion.
Do we have a second? Any discussion?
No.
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Good. Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
My second.
Second? We have a lot of seconds and a lot of motions. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All meeting adjourned, 9:26.